Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Info Edge (India) Limited Q4 and FY 2016 and 2017 results conference call. Joining us on the call today are Mr. Sanjeev Bikhchandani, Vice Chairman, Mr. Hitesh Oberoi, Managing Director and CEO, and Mr. Chintan Thakkar, CFO. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Hitesh Oberoi. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to our fourth quarter and annual results conference call. We will first take you through the quarterly and annual financial performance of the company. Then we will cover each business in more detail, and in the end, we will be happy to take questions. I would like to mention that similar to Q1, Q2, and Q3, the quarter four numbers reported to the stock exchange are based on Ind AS, the new accounting standard. In this call, however, we will discuss numbers based on previous Indian GAAP only. The audited financial statements file uploaded on our website for Q4 and FY contains a reconciliation between Ind AS and the previous Indian GAAP for Q4 of this year and Q4 of last year, and also for the full financial years. The revenue recognition treatment for different product offerings under Indian GAAP versus Indian AS are also uploaded on our website. We have also added the deferred sales revenue numbers under both previous Indian GAAP and Ind AS in the data sheet for the years FY 2016 and FY 2017 to help you understand the movement of revenue numbers under each segment. For the standalone company, revenue in Q4 was 224 crores versus rupees 204 crores in the same quarter of last year, an increase of 10%. Billings, a new term which we are going to be using henceforth and which means invoices raised, in Q4 were rupees 270 crores versus rupees 238.4 crores in the same quarter of last year, an increase of 13%. Operating expenses, including CSR but excluding depreciation, were 138.7 crores versus rupees 141.9 crores in the same quarter of last year, a decrease of 2%. Operating EBITDA, excluding any exceptional item, was at 85 crores versus 62 crores in Q4 of last year, an increase of 37% YOY. On account of an increase in revenue of rupees 20 crores and a decrease in expenses of rupees 3 crores. An operating EBITDA margin was at 38.1% versus 30.5% in Q4 of last year. Deferred sales revenue has increased to rupees 242 crores as of March 31st, 2017, versus rupees 200 crores as of December 31st, 2016, an increase of 21% Q-on-Q, mainly led by increased billings and change of product mix skewed towards deferred products in Naukri and 99acres. The billings could have been much higher, but for the change in sales policy in Naukri business adopted during Q1 of last year, as explained in the earlier calls. This year has therefore been a year of transition as we roll out the new policy, and Q4 was the most impacted as a result. Our estimate of the impact for the year is about 20 crore plus, which may result in higher billings in Q1 and Q2 of FY 2017-18. The impact on the revenue is estimated at about 7.5 crores, and the balance impact to deferred sales revenue could be about 12.5 crores. The cash from operations during the quarter was 105 crores versus 56 crores in Q4 of last year. Moving on to the financial highlights for the full year FY 2016-17 for the standalone company. Revenue in FY 2017 was rupees 821 crores versus rupees 723 crores last year, an increase of 14%. Billings in FY 2017 were rupees 860 crores versus rupees 753 crores of last year, an increase of 14% once again. Operating expenses, including CSR but excluding depreciation, were rupees 553 crores versus rupees 565 crores last year, a decrease of 2%, mainly on account of lower marketing spend. Operating EBITDA, excluding any exceptional item, was at 268 crores versus 158 crores last year, an increase of 110 crores YOY, which is around 70%, as a result of the increase in revenue by 98 crores and a decrease in expenses of around 12 crores. And operating EBITDA margin was at 33% for the full year versus 22% last year, an increase of 50%. Deferred sales revenue has increased to rupees 242 crores as of 31st March 2017 versus rupees 206 crores as of 31st March 2016, an increase of 18% YOY, mainly led by an increase in billings in Naukri during the year. This 243 crores of deferred sales revenue comprises of rupees 200 crores of Naukri plus Naukri Gulf, 21 crores of 99 acres, and about 11 crores for Jeevan Sathi and Shiksha. Operating PAT is 167 crores, an increase of 68% year-on-year, and operating PAT margin was at 20.4% versus 30.8% of last year. PAT was at 231 crores, up 63%. Marketing spend was 88 crores last year, down 33% YOY, and the cash from operations during the year was 215 crores, versus 109 crores last year, an increase of 97%. The board has recommended a final dividend of 15% for the full year, for the financial year 16-17. This would take the dividend for the year to rupees 4.5 per share, including the two interim dividends of rupees 1.5 per share each, already paid in November 2016 and March 2017. At the consolidated level, the net sales for the company was rupees 888 crores last year versus rupees 747 crores for the last financial year. For the consolidated entity at the PAT level, there is a loss of 21 crores versus a profit of rupees 141 crores last year. This aggregate top line of the 11, investee companies in FY16-17 grew to rupees 664 crores versus rupees 474 crores last year, an increase of 40%, while the aggregate EBITDA level loss was rupees 219 crores versus rupees 664 crores of last year. All investee companies continue to pursue growth and the losses therefore may continue for a while. Moving on to segment-wise numbers, we'll first talk about the recruitment segment. And the recruitment segment billings in Q4, and we'll discuss Q4 first. Recruitment segment billings in Q4 were 198 crores, an increase of 13% year-on-year. As mentioned in earlier calls, this may have been impacted by the transition in sales incentive policy, and the impact of it in our estimate is around 20 plus crores for the year. And this impact was mostly felt in Q4. And as a result, we may see higher billings than normal in Q1 and Q2 of FY17-18, by which time the transition will be almost complete. Recruitment revenue for Q4 was at 163 crores. And this grew 9% year-on-year, partly impacted by the product mix skew towards deferred products, as reflected in an increase in deferred sales revenue of 18% year-on-year, and partly on account of the change in sales and incentive policy, which impacted the overall billings, as explained earlier. EBITDA margin in recruitment were at 60% versus 55% in Q4 of last year. In Naukri India, the EBITDA margin in Q4 was at 63% versus 57% in Q4 of last year. For the full year, FY16-17, recruitment segment billings were at 633 crores, an increase of 14% year-on-year, and recruitment segment revenue was at 600 crores, an increase of 13% year-on-year. Within the recruitment segment, the Naukri India sales revenue grew by 12.6% year-on-year, while billing increased by 15% year-on-year. Naukri Gulf was nearly flat in revenue terms, but grew 4% in billing. Resume, the candidate services business known as Naukri Fast Forward, grew 20% in revenue terms. And Quadrangle, which is an offline executive search business, declined by 4% in revenue terms. For the recruitment segment as a whole, EBITDA margin was at 56% versus 54% last year. And Naukri India EBITDA margin for the full year was at 59% versus 56% for last year. In Naukri India, in Q4, we added an average of 16,000 new CVs versus 13,000 last year, every day in Q4. And the Naukri database grew to about 51 million CVs. Average CV modifications were at 245,000 per day versus 195,000 per day last year. The Naukri JobSpeak index has been a bit volatile for the last 3 months. and in April was lower. April 2017 was lower than April 2016, so March was higher than March 2016. In FY 16-17, we serviced nearly 14,400 IT clients versus 13,700 last year, and the IT revenue grew from 128 crores to 145 crores. While there are concerns with regards to IT slowing down with the media, and we recognize the uncertainty in the environment, but you know, so far Naukri India does not seem to have been impacted, and we believe that Naukri may be a part of the solution in the long run and may not get impacted. In Q4, we serviced 39,000 unique customers versus 36,300 unique customers in Q4 of last financial year. The number for the full year is about around 65,500 versus 61,000 in FY16. Our new products, primarily the cloud products we sort of have, the referral hiring product, continue to sort of grow at a handsome rate, and we continue to acquire new customers. We had over 900 customers for the product in FY16-17. The career site manager was sold to around 2,500 clients in FY16-17 versus 1,600 in FY15-16. We also launched a pro version, and the average realization of the pro version is around 90,000 rupees compared to the 25,000 rupees for the basic version. Moving on to financials for 99acres for Q4. 99acres Q4 revenue was at 34 crores, an increase of 6% year-on-year. The deferred sales revenue at the end of Q4 was 20.7 crores, an increase of 17% year-on-year and 39% Q-on-Q. The billings for the same for Q4 were at 39 crores, an increase of 9% YOY. The EBITDA for 99acres for Q4, for 99acres, we made an EBITDA loss of around 3.5 crores versus an EBITDA loss of 11 crores in Q4 of last year. In fact, if you take billing, which is a lead indicator, as the basis for the top line in place of revenue, which is a lag indicator, the segment EBITDA for 99acres was a positive 2 crores. Revenue for the full year for 99acres was 123 crores, an increase of 11% year-on-year. The billings for the full year were at 126 crores, an increase of 10% year-on-year. As you are aware, this business lost out a little bit on account of demonetization and was impacted to a large extent in the November, December and January period. We recovered healthily in February and March though. The full year EBITDA loss for 99acres was 41 crores versus 91 crores last year. We've rationalized our spending in 99acres given lesser competitive intensity and the uncertainty in the external sort of environment in real estate. Firstly, due to demonetization, and now because of RERA. RERA is while the impact of RERA is going to be net positive in the medium term for the next one or two quarters, given the uncertainty around the rules and regulations of RERA, advertising for projects may be impacted to some extent, and this could hurt our business. However, we remain committed to this business and shall, if needed, invest more. We have a war chest ready, and that will be used if needed. Moving on to the Jeevansathi business, in Jeevansathi, revenue grew by 26% for the full year FY16-17, and we touched 59 crores versus 47 crores last year. The EBITDA loss for the full year decreased to 4.3 crores versus 12.6 crores in FY15-16. Pre-marketing EBITDA in Jeevansathi is at a healthy 44%, but we continue to invest aggressively in this business to gain market share. The Shiksha business, full year revenue grew by 10% year-on-year and reached 38 crores. We almost broke even on the full year basis, while for Q4 we generated an EBITDA of around 2.4 crores this year. Moving on to our strategic investments, our investee companies continue to witness good growth. We invested around 60 crores in our investee companies in the financial year FY16-17. This year in the consolidated financials, we have Canvera coming in as a subsidiary, and Zomato moves out on account of the fully converted and diluted shareholder percentages. We have put out the full year top line and operating EBITDA numbers for our investee for our subsidiaries Meditation and Canvara, and for the rest of the investee companies we put out the total numbers. While Zomato is no longer a subsidiary, the company clocked a revenue of rupees 332 crores and incurred a cash level EBITDA loss of rupees 93 crores for the year ended FY March 2017. As you may have noticed, most of our investments are now parked in subsidiaries, which in our view gives us more flexibility and options going forward. Additional funding may be required by investing companies from time to time, and each will be evaluated on its own merit. We also continue to evaluate new investment opportunities. To summarize, the recruitment business had a good year and should continue to benefit as the economy improves further. Our competitive position in Naukri continues to be very, very strong. Newer products and site improvements, which we undertook during the year, yielded very good results. We will continue to invest more in this business, mainly in areas like product development, machine learning to improve our matching algorithms, and the mobile user experience. The 99 acres traffic share has grown even in a weak market, and possibly the business could have done better were it not for demonetization. The real estate market continues to be weak in most cities, and the implications of RERA are expected to unfold over the next 6 to 12 months. In our view, RERA is very positive for the business in the long run, as a more transparent and organized and professional real estate industry is good for marketplaces like us and good for customers as well, for buyers of real estate as well. Competitive intensity has subsided for the time being, but the impact of RERA in the short term could be negative as there is confusion around the new laws. We remain committed to this market and will continue to invest more in this business. We are very happy to see the encouraging response we're getting in Jeevan Sathi, and we will continue to sort of invest more in this business to gain market share. Shiksha also continues to do well, and we will invest more in Shiksha going forward. That's all from us. We are now ready for any questions that you may have. Thank you so much.
Sure. Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Participants who wish to ask questions may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking questions. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have the first question from the line of Ravi Menon from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. The customer additions for recruitment solution seems a little low for the quarter, just 200. Any comments on that?
No, look at the annual numbers versus the quarter numbers.
Okay. Sorry? Sure. And secondly, the realization improvement year on year, it's been a little low over the last past 5 quarters. I mean, with the change in incentive structure, should we not have seen a better improvement in realization over this year itself?
Possibly to some extent, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
So average in Naukri would have moved from about 70 to about 73 point something, closer to 74.
Okay.
For the year.
Okay, and next year you expect this to be much better.
That's very hard.
Yeah, see, but what has also happened is that accounts which we've transferred to next year are mostly the high value accounts.
Okay.
Right. So we will see. Hopefully, see a sort of an impact of that coming in Q1 and Q2 of next year, of this year, the new financial year.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Arya Sen from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good evening, everyone. Firstly, if you could talk a little more about the EBITDA margin improvement in Naukri, whether that is, how much of that is sustainable, what has led to this sort of a margin improvement in this quarter?
Sorry, this is Sudhir again. Ravi, the Q4 unique customers is 36,300 last year, and in Q4 this year is 39,000. So maybe you probably heard it slightly wrong. Yeah, back to you.
Sorry, could you repeat that question?
Yeah, just wanted some color on the EBITDA margin improvement in Naukri in this quarter, and whether what led to this, and whether we're going to see a consistent margin improvement year on year next year what would drive that?
Yeah, see, basically what happened this quarter is that we were able to grow revenue at a reasonable rate, and our operating expenses actually declined, right, by 2%. So, you know, we are confident that if we are able to grow revenue at 15-20% next year as well, then, you know, our EBITDA margins could improve.
So it's basically economies of scale playing out.
Yeah, it's basically, yeah, operating leverage.
Okay, and there was no one-off, right?
No one-off.
Okay. Secondly, you know, on the Ind AS impact, so, you know, both FY16 and 17, the revenues have been lower, right? So would there be some sort of a reverse impact in, you know, 18 over 17?
So usually, you know, you will find that revenue, particularly in India, because everything is now deferred as compared to IGAP, where maybe about 20-30% were kind of getting recognized upfront. You will always see that, you know, revenue is lagging behind. You know, so revenue usually reflects the performance of, you know, past 2-3 quarters billing rather than this, you know, this quarter, you know, billing. So it's a lag indicator in some ways. You know. So if you look at deferred sales revenue, I think it's kind of, you know, growing, you know, more and more. So if there is an upward trend, you will see that deferred sales revenue growing much faster than revenue. But if we are kind of, you know, at a flat kind of level, finally revenue and billings would kind of, you know, be the similar number.
Understood. Thirdly, any color on, you know, what are the targets for Zomato for next year in terms of revenue growth as well as burn rate? And what's happening on that business, general, you know, overall, you know, what sort of initiatives are being taken and what is the plan for Zomato?
So the company has not given us any target numbers and is certainly not going public with any target numbers. But obviously, they want to keep revenue growth high. In general, in the last financial year, the online ordering business grew faster than the advertising business. But this year, they are once again putting a thrust on the advertising and sales business by investing in sales teams. They've got a new CEO, you know, and so we hopefully should see ad sales growth pick up once again. It clearly, in India and UAE, you know, on this discovery and ad sales is a dominant player, whereas in India on online ordering, it's a competitive situation where it is, you know, the leader by value, according to Zomato. By volume, what they tell us, Swiggy is leading, but they're catching up. But the profit profile, the margin profile of the online ordering business is somewhat different from the ad sales business, and we are going to be, you know, studying that and doing a deep dive into to figure things out there. So high growth continues, burn is low. If they have enough cash to last out, you know, and they could break even, you know, according to them, whenever they want. They may actually continue with this burn, this level of burn, maybe slightly higher burn for a while as they invest in growth. So they would be flexible, options are open, but the company is very close to breaking even.
Right. And also, is it possible to give a breakup of that 332 crores of annual revenue into how much came from online ordering and how much came from India and Middle East?
So India and Middle East is, you know, a big chunk. It's about 70%. Online ordering, and I don't think they're disclosing right now.
Okay. And lastly, a bookkeeping question. What was the growth, revenue growth in Jeevan Sathi in 4Q?
In Q4?
Yes.
Just one second, we'll tell you.
And the absolute number as well, if possible.
21%, I think.
20% revenue growth and 25% billing growth.
And what was the absolute revenue number?
Revenue is about 16 crore. I think would be roughly 18 crore.
Okay, 16 crores, right? Okay, yeah. Thank you so much. That's all from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankur Rudra from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Thanks. To begin with, could you explain if billing, the new metric you've introduced, is the same as deferred sales or is there a difference?
Yeah, I mean, in a way, it's a derived number, so we can say that because revenue plus deferred sales, you know,
both taken together, I mean, you would need the balancing number would be, you know, would be billing, but we are giving out everything so that you can reconcile billing, you know, as well as deferred sales and the revenue number.
Collections or deferred sales?
Well, collections plus unpaid, uncollected money, right? Plus unpaid bills, so then collections.
Sorry, you know, you are asking billing and deferred sales revenue, right?
Yeah, what is the difference between billing and deferred sales revenue or billing and collections? I mean, is there
So on billing and collection, they are almost similar. Collection is the pure, you know, check collection, while there will be a little bit of debtors which might be there in some, you know, cases. So billing is actually collection plus plus debtors.
Okay, and this is different from deferred sales by?
No, so deferred sales revenue is the total, you know, total billing minus whatever is the revenue recognized gets carried forward to deferred sales. You know.
Okay, understand. Fair enough. The second question I had was, you had mentioned earlier that your deferred sales in fourth quarter would get impacted in Naukri because of the pricing changes you're doing. But the growth, at least in IGAAP numbers, was still quite strong at 17%. So, I mean, have you not seen the headwinds that you anticipated or something else happened in the quarter?
No. So, you know, what we had said at the beginning of the year is that we are aligning our sales quarter with our financial quarter. And this may result in some account movements into next year. So what we would have sort of, some accounts you would have otherwise renewed in Q4 are now going to be renewed in Q1 and Q2 of next year, right? So this has had an impact on our billings in Q4 and therefore our revenue also in Q4. And hopefully we will see a positive impact in Q1 and Q2 of next year because of these accounts being moved to next year. Having said so, yes, you're right. I mean, our deferred revenue sort of growth is still strong. It would have been even stronger otherwise.
Okay, so there has been an impact. It would have been stronger otherwise, and deferred sales growth potentially should increase more in Q1 given this impact.
Yes, that's correct. The billings would have increased, and since the revenue may not have increased, then, you know, or increased in part, then the balance part would have been carried forward to deferred sales revenue, and that would have increased even, you know, faster.
Okay. Any indication, would you be sharing this number, the billings number that you've introduced more explicitly in your data sheet going forward?
Yeah, we can do that, but I don't think it would be harder to kind of derive because we have the revenue number and we have deferred sales revenue number opening as well as closing. So maybe, you know, it's a derivable number as well.
Okay, understood. Just lastly, Zomato sales, can you just repeat the number? I missed it.
332 crores.
Losses.
93 crores at the EBITDA level.
Cash EBITDA. Okay, because, you know, there, the numbers that they have shared in their, abridged annual report on the blog said $49 million of revenues, which is 322 crores that you said.
And
the cash burn they shared was $12 million, which appears to be lower than your EBITDA loss.
I think that there could be different exchange rates. You know, we are taking it based on whatever the accounting standards are rather than what the exact prevailing dates are. And, you know, the revenue number is on a month-to-month basis. So there could be difference, you know, and I don't think it's a real
thing. And there might be some differences in definition also. Because, you know, ours will be a precise accounting definition and theirs was an operating definition and a management of my
definition. Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. Thanks, investor.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Gaurav Malhotra from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. My questions have been answered. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll move to the next question. The next question is from the line of Alat Dalal from 130 Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you. So do you measure your traffic share including Indeed and what would that have been?
Well, our sense is that Indeed probably has a traffic share of about, you know, 18-20% right now.
And so yours would be what?
If you were to take Indeed also in the group of sites like Monster and Times and Shine and us, then our share would be around 60-62%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, and how's that moved in the last, let's say, quarter?
So Indeed share went up last quarter because of the marketing campaign they sort of did by about maybe 2-3 percentage points.
did that come out of you or went out of someone else?
No, that's very hard to estimate because in when we say 70-75%, it is amongst the four sites. Now, when we add this, Indeed in, we land at this number. So, the base sort of changes, yes, probably a little bit may have kind of gone from...
But the others lost more share than we did. And the thing to understand about Indeed is that the traffic share could be coming from different segments as well. So, there are lots of low-end jobs on Indeed. There's lots of free traffic. There is a lot of traffic on small towns. So the quality of traffic on Indeed may not be the same as the quality of traffic on Naukri.
Okay, fair enough. So in terms of the recruitment solution segment, do you track the percentage of revenue that's coming through your database versus non-database products, maybe some of the premium offerings, and how that's moved over the last couple of quarters?
So it's been around 57-60% odd, in a quarter and typically over a year. So quarter to quarter, we don't really monitor that much, but in the updated investor deck, which we should be putting out in a day or two, you'll find previous year it was around 59, this year is around 57 or 60. It's been in that range.
Okay. And what was your usable cash balance at the end of the fiscal year?
1295 crores.
This is usable cash, right? Not part of the...
This is free cash.
Okay. And just in terms of your, dividend and, cash redeployment policy, has your view on this war chest changed given the changing dynamics of the 99 acres business?
Sorry, repeat that.
I'm just saying in terms of, your view on the war chest, has that changed given the changing dynamics of the 99 acres business?
Yeah, so what we said when we raised the money was that for the next 2 years at least, we will keep it purely for 99 acres. And then review. If it's used, it's one thing. If it's not used, we'll see what to do with it. I think what we have seen in the last year and a half to 2 years is that competition has kind of declined in 99 acres. Burn has come down. And it is possible that we will not need all this money for 99 acres, although there still might be some burn going forward. All of it will not need it. So therefore, we have said beyond that, it becomes fungible for other users by the company, and that's the way we're regarding it right now, that we can use it for... other purposes. Now, of course, we, as always, will be sort of conservative and risk-averse and therefore, not spend it aggressively.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Arya Sen from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, thank you. Just a follow-up on, the Zomato loss. So the 93 crores cash EBITDA loss this year, what was the corresponding number last year?
I don't have it handy, Arya. We will have to pull it out.
We'll get back to you.
No worries. Thank you so much.
I'll probably get back to you. I don't have it handy. I'm so sorry.
No worries. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rajiv Sharma from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Just a couple of questions. Hitesh, to your initial comments that, though the IT sector is seeing a lot of volatility, but Naukri could be the solution to the problem. So if you can expand on that, and I was reading very recently that you said that you are open to make acquisitions in the recruitment space. So your thoughts there, and your also thoughts on, the new concept, which is outsourced hiring, like companies like or startups like Belong, they are doing. So what's your thoughts on that space?
Yeah, see, IT, what I basically meant was that so far we've not been impacted by the IT slowdown that we've all been reading about in the papers. And it is very possible that we may be a part of the solution for the simple reason that, what may happen, and this is just a hypothesis over time, is that companies may cut down, if they decide to hire fewer people going forward, they may cut down on their campus hiring, and they may move to more lateral hiring and just-in-time hiring. that benefits us because we don't really play any role in campus hiring, while we are actually the solution for lateral hiring. One. Secondly, you know, when we report our IT revenue or our IT dependence, as 40% of our revenue is coming from IT, this includes domestic IT companies, includes MNC back offices, includes internet companies who hire IT professionals. This includes IT exporters. So recruitment firms who hire for IT. So our dependence on IT exporters is not to the extent of 40%, but maybe a lot less than that. Right? We continue to be the cheapest way to hire, and we continue to work on our products and services. And so far, you know, and just to give you a number, as our internal sort of numbers show that the best doing markets for us last year were markets like Chennai, Hyderabad, and Pune, which have a large dependence, which have at least a 50% dependence on IT. So far things are okay for us as far as IT is concerned. One doesn't know what is going to happen going forward, but we may be part of the solution. Acquisitions, yes, we are open to acquiring companies in the hiring space. We've done three acquisitions over the last 4 years. We acquired a company called Two Step, and that we are building a cloud business on top of some of their offerings. We had acquired a company called MakeSense Technologies, which was a pioneer in semantic search a few years ago. We integrated their technology with our platform. A few months back, we acquired a company called Ambition Box, which is trying to do play in the UGC space, reviews and ratings and information on companies, questions for interviews and so on and so forth. So we remain open. We are sort of still looking for acquisitions, and there are some interesting companies which we find which could add to our, which could help us improve our user experience, or which could help us sort of take a new product to market or enter a new segment. We sort of open to making these acquisitions. As far as companies like Belong, etc., go, it's very early. They're just starting. They have very little revenue, and it's very hard to say where they'll go. So we don't really have a view on them as yet.
Just one related question is, on your career, you talked about a pro version, which is almost 3.5 times price than the basic version. So what is incremental there, and what's been the traction so far?
So the pro version is the basic career site manager we had launched a while back basically gave you a corporate career site and a basic response management system. So this was a product. This is a product which is meant for all enterprises, but mostly the kind of companies we get, the kind of companies to end up buying a product like this are the small and medium enterprises. The pro version, which we launched a while back, is targeted at recruitment firms. So it's a product which helps you manage all your resumes in one place. This product has has been doing well. For the last few months, we already have close to 450 customers for this product. And going forward, we are looking, at some point in time, we will also launch an enterprise version, which is meant for the medium to large corporates, which will be priced even higher. But that's still that's not been sort of done as yet, so I don't want to talk about it. But the pro version and the basic versions are doing very well.
One question on the 99 acres. Is it basically the marketing expenses and, lack of competitive intensity which is driving this? And do you think Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, they still continue to get a fair, larger share of the real estate, digital ad revenues?
Well, our 99 acres operation has become a lot more efficient than earlier. The headcount in the business has gone down over time. The traffic on the site continues to move up. Despite lower expenses, lower marketing expense, we continue to gain traffic share in the category. I think for the full year, we must have averaged around 45-46% share of traffic last year. It's just that the real estate market is in bad shape. Otherwise, we would have broken even and made a small, or maybe even made a small profit last year. As far as platforms like Facebook and Google go, I think we are getting better and better at attracting more traffic to our site, and we are slowly but surely getting the monetization also right for new projects. See, for resale and rental, we were always ahead of Facebook and Google. It was only as far as new project marketing, where sort of new project marketing was sort of concerned, builders and some large builders were spending a lot of money on Facebook and Google. I think With the improvement in our products, with the improvement in some of our offerings, we will be able to, once the market recovers post-RERA, attract a larger share of this spend onto our platform as well.
And just some more color on, you know, what's been good with Shiksha now that it is also close to a bit of break-even. So what's going on good, you know, what has been the positives there and what's the next plans there?
See, basically, see what is basically driving these improvements in all our platforms is our investment in product and technology. And what this investment is doing for us is helping us attract more users to the platform without spending much more money on marketing, and helping us monetize better without spending much more money on sales. So in all our businesses, you know, we sort of managed to maintain or cut cost, and at the same time, we managed to grow our traffic. And this has basically improved the economics of all our sites.
Lastly, on Zomato, 70% comes from India and UAE, if I can get breakup between these two countries. And secondly, where is this rest 30% coming from? Which could be the other, you know, the larger markets in this rest 30%?
So India is about 50%, approximately. And roughly about 20% is Middle East. Now, the other 30%, you know, is distributed across very many markets, you know, and there's no one really big market.
Yeah, but Sanjeev, we thought that they shut down many operations last year. So are they still...
They weren't yielding much revenue.
Okay. And going forward, you said the focus will be more on ad sales and there is a new team. So
No. Online ordering and delivery continues to be a big growth and focus area.
Okay.
Investment area. However, they are going to refocus on ad sales, so they will be doing both.
Okay. And in online order, is there a change? Is there a, you know, change in strategy possible where you Zomato gets into deliveries on its own, or it still leverages the restaurant infrastructure?
Well, that is under evaluation, and yes, it's possible. But that will be, if it's done, it will be done largely for a small segment of restaurants. But that is under evaluation.
And any color on the cloud kitchen plans, like fresh menu and things like that?
Well, that's just a small pilot that's going on right now, and depending on the results, they'll figure out what to do.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks a lot. Yeah. It's very helpful.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashish Chopra from Motilal Oswal Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Just a couple of questions from my end. Firstly, on the ad spend, so it did come down with the competitive intensity of 99 acres. Just wanted to know the outlook on the same. Would you feel the need to respond to the ad campaigns that we witnessed in the second half from Indeed, or do you think that would not be necessary?
So far we've not felt the need. Our traffic in Naukri actually grew at a very healthy rate last year. Our, I mentioned the number of registrations we get on a daily basis that went up to 16,000. The number of mods went up to 245,000 from 195,000. So our sort of mobile traffic continues to grow at a very rapid rate. So, you know, it's not as if we can get a lot more traffic on Naukri by advertising. But yes, you know, if competitors get aggressive, you know, we may be forced to respond sort of just to keep them at bay over time. But it's not as if we need to advertise aggressively in Naukri to, you know, get more customers or get more users on our platform right now. We are investing, like I said, aggressively in stuff like SEO, which gets us free traffic, in product and technology, which helps us engage our users a lot more. And get them back to the platform more often. So in these areas, we'll continue to invest. Marketing, sort of, we'll see. We'll evaluate from depending on competitive intensity.
Got it. So as of now, there has not really been any active uptick in the ad spend, at least budgeted for next year, given this the competition from Indeed, right? So that was what I was actually wanting to know.
Yeah, not because of competition from Indeed. We may increase our ad spend if we find, you know, that advertising is generating a lot of returns for us. But, you know, like I said, that is not on the agenda at the moment, at least.
Understood. And just lastly from my side, so as far as the growth in Naukri goes, so last year we did see some kind of a slowdown, and it was merely a couple of months of impact from demonetization, and we were, just anticipating that if this were the full quarter, then it probably could have been slightly worse again. But the growth seems to have come in fairly okay. So if I look at outside of the IT segment, how would you characterize the growth over there in terms of the hiring trends as well as the business for Naukri? Would demon be completely behind?
Yeah. The impact of demonetization, at least in Naukri, is behind us. We're not hearing anything from our sales team, about companies not renewing or not hiring because of demonetization. Yes, the business was impacted for a couple of months, but that's about it. And you're right, we could have done a lot better if we had not transitioned to this new sort of thing we are doing in sales, where we align sales quarter and the financial quarter. Our collections would have been even higher last year.
Got it. That's it from my side. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to our participants that you may press star and one to join the question queue. The next question is from the line of Shalin Kumar from UBS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. So just a few questions from my side. So one on Naukri, I just want to understand, from Hitesh, you said that, we do not have an effect of this IT headwind, which I understand is the contribution of various segment has not changed. But if you look at the yearly, not at the quarterly revenue growth, and if I for a moment not look at our deferred revenue, then our revenue growth has kind of slowed down from what we're clocking at 18-19% to around 12-13%. So is there something else we are missing over here? Or we are back on the trajectory apart from demon over here?
Yeah, so this big impact that you're seeing is on account of us aligning our sales quarter with our financial quarter, and this has impacted Q4 the most. And we will see the benefit of this in Q1 and Q2 if all goes as per plan. So the internal targets we had set for our sales team, which were fairly aggressive, we met them. But it's just that because you sort of moved these renewals to next quarter, you're not seeing the impact in the financials for last year. Now, if our sales team continues to perform like they performed next year, last year, then of course you will see a sort of surge in revenue or a surge in billings, at least in Q1 of this financial year.
Okay.
So internally we're not seeing any. I mean, our sales team is sort of they met their targets, and we did not see any slowdown of any sort last year.
Okay, and no challenge. What about the pricing increase and all? No challenge in that for you as well?
No, we took a price increase actually in Q4.
Okay, you did.
How much? And we did not take a price increase on all products, but okay, on some of our products. And the full impact of that price increase will actually be seen this year.
All right. Okay. Can you talk a little bit about Nahiranikas in terms of the traffic growth? We seeing some kind of recovery happening over here from Q3 to Q4 now, but how are you seeing it now, right now, like in terms of traffic growth or even the customers? Any?
Yeah, so see, 99acres was impacted a lot by demonetization. In fact, traffic on 99acres fell 40% overnight after demonetization. And we had a tough 3-4 months. In November, December, Jan were fairly tough for 99acres. But come mid-Feb end, traffic recovered fully. So we were back to where we were pre-demonetization by Feb end. And today we are traffic on 99acres is higher than what it was pre-demonetization, right? And this also sort of got, to some extent, you can see this in our billing growth. We were growing at actually 25% pre-demonetization in 99acres. And in Q3, we actually, our growth became minus 4%. So from plus 25%, we went to minus 4% in our collection growth. Mm. And in Q4, we again grew at about, our billings again grew by about 9%, right?
Right.
So that's, what's been happening in the 99acres business. And we are fairly bullish on this year, except for the fact that now RERA sort of come in, and RERA is leading to a lot of confusion and therefore developers seem to be holding back on advertising because they're unclear on whether they're allowed to advertise or not. And, you know, they need to get their projects registered before they can advertise. So there could be a negative impact of RERA for maybe a quarter or two. But the buzz out there is, you know, that come September, things should be back to normal, and actually things could be a lot better than they were pre-RERA. Because if RERA is implemented successfully, then it will bring confidence back into the real estate market.
So you're seeing any kind of slowdown or tapering of growth for 99 acres?
No, so till March. See, March is okay, but I'm beginning to hear from our sales team now that RERA is creating confusion, and developers want to sort of hold back for a while because they're unclear on whether they're allowed to advertise or not.
I have a few questions on your cost item for FY17 if I look at it. So I understand, you know, that one of your network cost has come down substantially. So is it sustainable, one thing? The second thing, you know, generally you guys must be having a good sales force, and sales force generally, you know, need to grow as the revenue grows. And if I look at the trend, the employee cost has not grown substantially this year. So do you think that you need to ramp up your sales force given that you need to push for your Naukri and 99 acres going forward? And what about the network cost and all?
Not really. I don't think we will need to add too many people to our sales team. Of course, we are using more technology. We are implementing a CRM. We are giving them better tools so that they can do their job better. You know, and we're getting smarter at how we sort of generate leads for ourselves and so on. And also, with, you know, as a sales team gets more experience, they become more productive as well. So we don't expect to add a lot of people in sales in Naukri, nor do we expect to add a lot of people in sales in 99 acres. In fact, the 99 acres sales headcount has gone down in the last 1 year, and may go down even further going forward.
Okay, great.
Network cost, you know, we saw this benefit because we moved our servers from the US to India. So this cost base is sustainable, but of course, as we use more and more technology, as we use more and more machine learning, as we use more and more analytics, you know, we may need to add more servers going forward. We will need to up our computing power.
Sure. Great. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we'd like to remind participants once again that you may press star and one to join the question queue. The next question is from the line of Ashish Chopra from Motilal Oswal Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question again. Just one question on any quick thoughts or early observations on Uber Eats and the way it is going about launching in terms of the response that you think or anticipate from Zomato?
Well, it's a little early to see what the impact will be and figuring out what a strategy would be. Right now, I see the strategy they're going after the premium restaurants. And yes, Zomato obviously will have a considered response, and it's a little early to talk about that.
Got it. So plans to really see, or you don't see really the burn elevating from current levels as a result?
There are no plans that Zomato is willing to announce right now. I'm sure they have plans, but they will not announce them right now.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. That was the last question. As there are no further questions, I'd like to hand the conference back to Mr. Hitesh Oberoi for closing comments.
Well, thank you everyone for being on the call, and have a nice evening.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Info Edge India Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect your lines.